This is a CBC podcast.
The premier says he does not believe in conspiracy theories about chemicals being spread in the sky. Scott Moe was asked to clarify after his answer to a question at a town hall in rural Saskatchewan was posted online.
My answer at that point in time was, as I actually don't believe in chemtrails dropping whatever chemicals. And the question wasn't specific to chemtrails. It was a bunch of products coming out of the planes. However, when it comes to the jets that are flying over our area, there is pollution that are coming out of those jets.
That's Scott Moe speaking with reporters this week. He also faced questions about his government's willingness to look into allegations made by the speaker about bullying and harassment. For more, we reached our political panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan. Murray Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Adam, what's the latest when it comes to the premier's views on conspiracy theories?
We heard there the premier saying what we didn't hear him say in the town hall in Spears, or when we asked for his opinion of the government to have a statement, we were told, well, the premier was invited by the mayor. That turned out not to be the case, and that the premier listens to his constituents. He did say that again this week, but he also said, I don't believe in chemtrails. And he was asked about bioweapons, this SHA being part of this conspiracy theory during the pandemic, which he was also asked about, which he said, I would read your document. He said that he doesn't believe that to be the case, that he has a strong record when it comes to recommending vaccines. And during the pandemic, some of his comments he's made, and he had said that he hadn't read this person's document. So trying to clarify, I think, some of those things, but stuff we could have heard more than a week ago when we did request a comment from the premier.
But what do you make of this response?
He just simply won't call out people he thinks will vote for him. And this is what it's all about. As Adam said, this wasn't a town hall meeting. Mark Friesen was there. Other people were there from elsewhere, from North Battleford, from every other place. So the mayor has already denied it was anything other than what it sounded like, and what it very much sounded like was a bunch of conspiracists who invite politicians they hope they can influence. And of course he doesn't believe in chemtrails, but he could have basically said that it makes no sense. Yeah, there's stuff coming out of the airplanes. It's called CO2. You don't really want to deal with that either. You know, I don't get it. Like, I mean, when someone asks you what color the number 7 is, you know, like, I mean, you don't have to respond in kind and say that this is a good, solid question and I'll entertain you. You can basically say, no, this doesn't make any sense. And I really can't answer that because it really doesn't make any sense. And that's what the job is, and that's what it is to be part of the premier. But he won't do that with this particular group because they have embedded themselves in that large conservative tent, and he has had a role in that because he supported them on the freedom rallies to a certain extent, the old Yellow Vesters campaign, to a certain extent, other campaigns. He talked to Nadine Ness and he's talked to these other peoples in the hopes of placating them so that at least they won't go to another political party and create problems for him. And this is the net outcome. It's starting to hurt him at the other end. And yes, I don't for a minute think he believes in chemtrails. He's not a stupid man by any stretch of the imagination or anything like that. But he's also a politician who just won't do what I think politicians need to do in that situation, particularly in this day and age when we have people that are governed by internet conspiracies. Sometimes you have to call them out. As Brad Wall said back in the day about the jack wagons, that he didn't particularly agree with. Like, that's what Scott Moe needs to do, and he hasn't.
Speaking of politicians doing what they need to do, there's a difference of opinion there. There was a brief committee meeting on Monday to talk about options for investigating allegations from the speaker. What is the latest?
Not really surprising in the outcome that we expected the government members to vote down the NDP's motions. They kind of signaled that they were going to do that. The NDP wanted an independent investigator appointed. They wanted to call Scott Moe and Jeremy Harrison and others as witnesses to look into this. And they wanted everything under the sun investigated. So that includes harassment and bullying allegations and the gun allegations made by Randy Weeks. The government said no to that, as they could with the majority on this committee. And Jim Ryder, who spoke to the media afterwards, his cabinet minister, said, you know, there's a process for this, which there is. You can make a complaint 90 days within 90 days of the incident. Independent investigators appointed. There are some caveats with that. One is that if the person is no longer an MLA, then it's my understanding that that investigation kind of dies out when Randy Weeks is not running in the next election. He lost the nomination, of course. So this could just fizzle out if that is what he wants to do, and he wants to file a formal complaint. The NDP says they're going to look at their other options, but pretty much every other option looks to me like they go to committee and the government votes it down. So this may have fizzled out.
Murray, what do you think of the government's position that there is this other process, not a public process? What public answers are required on what the speaker has alleged, if any?
There is more an obligation for a public process because these are public figures functioning in public. This wasn't some problem that they were having in a back room within their caucus, which I guess can be argued that obviously there'd be no investigation in this. This was him trying to influence decisions by the speaker. Actually, this is a question of privilege in my mind, and I think that it should have always went to the privilege committee. But this is a question of Jeremy Harrison and other politicians trying to influence the speaker, and the whole other thing about taking a gun into the legislature, which is this horrific judgment that needs to be called into question. That's a whole other thing that won't be dealt with now because of the harassment campaign. Is there theater going on with the NDP? Yeah, of course there is, because they're trying to make political hay of this in an election year. But is the government trying to sweep it under the rug? Yeah, we've seen it before. We've seen it with the GTH. You and I are old enough to remember see other governments do it with Murdoch Carrier, as the NDP did, trying to sweep that issue under the rug. It's what governments do with their majority on committees and otherwise to avoid political embarrassment. And in this case, Jeremy Harrison created a political embarrassment for them. Other members did, in terms of harassing the speaker. And now they don't really want to bring that up in public. And that's way more significant to me than the harassment thing is a general complaint, because this is a public thing. I think this one actually has more legs in the public's mind, because it speaks to the attitude of the government, their narrative, their sense of entitlement, and the fact that they don't even want to listen to people in authority that they appoint if they don't agree with them. And that's a real problematic thing. So obviously the government doesn't want to go on, and maybe it doesn't go any further. But I think, as Adam said, well, maybe there's the damage has already been done because that narrative's out there.
The Chamber of Commerce in our province wants the government to allow 13-year-olds to work. What do we know about this idea?
Not a lot, because the Chamber of Commerce is not doing interviews. So they put it out there, they put it in their document for the election coming up. And then, as far as I know, haven't talked to anyone about this other than putting out statements, even though it's been a story in multiple outlets. The background on this, and what we have been told by them through a statement, is that they want that to be left up to the child and the parents. If they believe their child is ready to work, that there's labor shortages in the province, that there are issues with finding people, work for people. So that's their pitch. The government has said they're not actively looking at this. They appreciate the work of the Chamber of Commerce. The NDP has said that they're not interested in looking at 13-year-olds working. There are different rules in different provinces for this, so Saskatchewan wouldn't be the only one to do this. But we've heard from professors, we've heard from the Saskatchewan Federation of Labor, who both say this is a bad idea.
What do you think?
Can we leave kids out of politics, please? That would be we saw it in Bill 137. And it gets to, I think, what Adam is talking about. It all kind of fits into this theme that we know best for our kids, and that we think that we should be able to dictate this because we simply can. There is no labor shortage. 15-20% of 15-year-olds cannot find work. So why are we extending it to 13-year-olds? It doesn't make any sense. If you want to work on the family farm, if you want to work in the family business, current labor laws at 13 permit you to do so, because you're working under that parental supervision as well. You should be. This isn't even so much, in my mind, a case of kids need time to be kids. This is a case, I think, of political messaging. Well, they do it in Alberta, so it must be a good thing for us to do it here. And I worked hard as a kid, and I'm sure you've heard the stories. And
I tell the stories.
I tell the stories too, don't we? But that doesn't mean we liked it, or it doesn't mean it was necessarily something good for kids these days, or that they should be working in this environment. I think what it does mean is somebody is trying to signal a specific narrative, a specific political message, because it sells well, as Bill 137 does. And it's just exploiting and manipulating kids is an issue when they're not an issue, is they weren't an issue on the pronoun bill, is this was never an issue. And I guess that's what bugs me the most about is keep kids out of politics. Don't have them voting at party conventions at 13 or 14. Let kids be kids at all levels, because it creates all kinds of problems when they become pawns or ploys or are involved in the political process. Generally, it just hurts them. And I think we're seeing that in many fronts now.
Thanks, you guys.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.